Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. What an appropriate song for the message this morning. Hebrews chapter number 11 in your Bibles. It has been great to be here with you, and I've enjoyed it. I enjoyed teaching Sunday school this morning. That was a blessing, and praise the Lord. I love your pastor, and I really, really do. It's been fun for me to just watch him here at his church. It's just been fun. Because I've always wondered, you see him at camps and different places, is he always like that? You know, you say, what do you mean, Brother Judah? You know what I'm talking about. Is he always like that? And we got here for Sunday school, and he's sitting on a cooler. And he starts doing this. And I'm like, man, he's always like that, isn't he? And it's been wonderful. Now, I know. I've preached with him before and heard him many times. He preaches 20, 25 minutes. He's done. He has assured me that guest speakers get rollover minutes. Yeah. Who's excited about that? Raise your hand. No, I'm just kidding. And, I'm not going to go. I know what time it is, and I'm not going to go too long. I promise that I won't. I'm going to save it for tonight. Tonight I am going to give my testimony about my dad. I don't give it every place that I go. I refuse to allow it to be recorded. My dad's a Muslim man that's not saved, and so it just doesn't go online or live stream or anything like that. And I am going to take my time tonight and give that testimony and that story. So if you're able to be back tonight, that would be wonderful. I want to publicly thank you, the church, for allowing your pastor to travel and to make a difference in the lives of teenagers. It is I'll raise my hand and say, firsthand, he has impacted our youth group way past the week of camp that he preached for us almost a year and a half ago now. To this day, there are teenagers. I'll give a testimony of one of them here in the sermon, but there are teenagers who your pastor has impacted just in his travels and preaching and for eternity. And I want to thank you for that. I know I travel quite a bit, and it can be a difficult thing. I want to thank you for it. We're in Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word, if you're able. I'm going to preach to you this morning a message about faith. Faith. And really, you'll get the title of the message in the sermon. I'm not going to give it to you right now, but really the crux of the message is, what is faith? What is faith? I was not raised in a Christian home and came to Christ as a teenager after walking into church for the first time ever in my life at 15 years of age. I had never been to a church, and so I started to hear these terms, to be saved, and things like to pray, and faith, and I'm trying to figure out what are the preachers talking about, and faith is one of those obscure things. You hear 100 preachers, you get 100 different definitions, and they're all right. What is faith? I'm going to preach to you this morning on this subject of faith. The Bible says this, Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. What a wonderful testimony. Verse number 6, but without faith, it gets serious right here. It gets real serious right here. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hey, are you pleasing God today? Without faith, it's impossible to please. You cannot please God without faith. Well, what is faith, Brother Judah? If it's so important, what is it? I mean, if that's what it takes to please God, What is faith? And that's kind of the definition. I heard a man give a definition of faith once, and he said, faith sees the invisible hand of a sovereign God working in the affairs of mankind. And I sat there and went, huh? If that's what faith is, I'm in trouble. I couldn't even repeat that sentence if I tried, all right? I had to read it. What is faith? We'll pray and then you can be seated. Father, I pray you bless the service this morning. We've already enjoyed the good music, and God, thank you for that, for those young people that would sing, and we thank you for that. And now as your word is opened, I pray that you'd empower me to preach boldly and with power to be a help to these dear folks. In Jesus' name, amen. What is faith? Jesus said in Luke chapter number 18, verse number 8, we see this. He said, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, listen to this, shall he find faith on the earth? There's a question. Hey, when Jesus returns, is he going to find faith? Hey, if Jesus were to bodily come into this auditorium, now we know that he's here, where two or three are gathered together in his name, he's in the midst of them, so we know that the Lord Jesus is here this morning, but if he were to come to you personally, would he find faith? Faith, what is faith? We read about small faith. In Matthew chapter number 17, the Bible says this about small faith. You know the story, Matthew 17, verse number 20. Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, that's pretty small, small faith. If ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And listen to this, nothing shall be impossible unto you. So here we have all these verses in the Bible about faith. And we need it to please God. We see that if we have faith, small faith, that it can be mountain moving. As a matter of fact, God says nothing will be impossible unto you if you have small faith. And here's what I found, church. The problem in most of our lives is not that our faith is too small. The problem, if the truth were to be told, it's the fact that we have no faith. And if we're not seeing a big God do big things in our life, the reason is because we have no faith. Oftentimes I would hear preachers preach and they tell some great illustration. And I think, man, I could never do that. And then it dawned on me, all I need is a little bit of faith. I can move a mountain. What is faith? In our text, we get the definition of faith. And I want to give you, now I'm a simple person, and so I want to give you a simple definition. This is my definition, simply put, of what faith is. And I want you to be asking yourself as I'm preaching, do you have faith? Hey, don't you want to see God do something big? Don't you want 2018 to be the best year ever in the history of your church, in the history of your home, in the history of your youth group? I mean, don't you believe that God can do it? Hey, we need faith. We have no faith. That's the problem. Here's faith. Here's the definition. What is faith, Brother Judah? Here it is. Simply put, number one, faith is believing that God is. God is. God is. I want you to say those two words with me. Ready? God is. That's right. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Friend, listen to me this morning. I don't know what your situation is, but I do know one thing for sure as I'm standing here, God is. He is. And by the way, you just let that ruminate in your heart a little bit. That is good news for some. That's bad news for others. But it doesn't change the fact that God is. If you're sitting here today and you ask yourself the question, does anybody understand my circumstance? Can anybody feel my pain? Does anybody understand what I'm going through? Listen, God is. He is. Hey, if you're here this morning in rebellion and you're running from God and maybe you're prodigal this morning, and hey, I have news for you as well. God is. See, good news for some, bad news for others, but it doesn't change the fact that God is. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that this morning, that God is. Hey, I can preach forever. I was preaching in Canada and had a wonderful service there. But the pastor said to me, he said, Brother Judah, the gospel light is quickly fading in Canada. People aren't going to churches. They're shutting down. People aren't responding to the Bible. It's just like England was a short time ago. And then he looked at me and he said, and America's not far off. Hey, we need a group of people in America that if they know nothing else, they know that God is. They have that faith. They have that belief that God, that's the foundation of Christianity. Believing that God is. He is. Good news for some, bad news for others. I was at a youth conference and I saw the most heartbreaking thing. I'm telling you, it was heartbreaking. They showed a video to the teenagers that were there. It was something called the Blasphemy Challenge. It's on YouTube, you can look it up. It is what it is. The Blasphemy Challenge. Here's the Blasphemy Challenge. Bunch of teenagers mainly have misunderstood the Word of God, the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. They think that if they were to just deny that it's the unpardonable sin, and I understand the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, I'm not going to get into all of that right now, but this is what the young people do. They video themselves. Hey, normal-looking teenagers, the kind that are sitting in this church right now, the kind that are at the youth conference over the weekend, they video themselves committing what they think is the unpardonable sin. Camera rolls, and there you have an innocent teenage girl looking straight into it and saying, Hi, I'm Susie, and I just guess, you know, there is no God, and if there is, I'm committing the blasphemy challenge, so I guess I can't go to heaven, ha ha, and hanging up. You'll see thousands of videos like that. The blasphemy challenge. Now you listen to me, church. It doesn't change the fact that some teenager grabs a cell phone and posts a stupid video on YouTube. It doesn't change the fact that God is. One of these days, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. God is. Do you believe that? He is. That's good news for some and bad news for others. Doesn't matter how much they march. Doesn't matter what the politicians say. God is. He is. Secondly, what is faith? It's believing that God is. But it's something else. It's believing that God can. Faith is believing that God can. Say that, those two words with me. God can. Ready? Here we go. God can. Hey, do you believe that? Do you believe that this morning? Do you have faith this morning to believe, yes, that God is? See, many of us believe that God is, but do you believe that God can? A foolish question was asked in Psalm 78, and I'm just going to read it for you. The Bible says this, Yea, they spake against God, Psalm 78, verse 19. They said, listen to this, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? What a foolish question. They said, hey, can God furnish a table in the wilderness where there's nothing, where there's no resources? Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? You say, Brother Judah, why is that a foolish question? Because the answer is obvious. God can. God can. And faith is believing that God can. Hey, who can fix your marriage? God can. Who can bring back a child that's gone prodigal? Hey, listen to me. God can. Brother Randy came, preached a school camp for us, and we had a young man. God did a marvelous work, a marvelous work. Had a young man who was a senior in high school. His heart was hard as a stone. God broke his heart at school camp. Broke many hearts, but broke his heart. Wednesday, I'll stop and say this. Monday, I went to the school. When I went to the school, the Monday after school camp, when I went to the school, I walked in the hallway of the high school, and there were teenagers all over the hallway in prayer meetings, praying. The principal looked at me and said, I don't know if I've ever seen it like this before. And I said, man, this is a wonderful thing. Yeah. Wednesday after camp, that senior in high school whose heart was hard as a stone came to me, and he said, Brother Judah, can I give a testimony in chapel today? I was a little nervous, you know. I didn't even know if the kid was saved. I'm just being honest with you. I was a little nervous. I said, you want to give a testimony in chapel? He said, yes. I said, sure, man, go right ahead. Let's see what happens. He got up there, and this was his testimony. Listen to this. This was his testimony. He said, for years, I've been at this school. I've gone to camps and conferences and revivals. He said, and I've made the same decision every single time. Listen to this. His own testimony. High school full of teenagers were there to hear it. He said, my decision was this. No matter what was happening at the altar, no matter what was happening up front, no matter who was getting right with the Lord, here was my decision. I quit God. I quit church. When I graduate, I'm done. And that young man stood there in front of his classmates, surrounded by several of his friends who God had also spoken to. And he said this, church, he said, I just want everybody in this school to know that all those years that I gave up on God, I'm glad that God never gave up on me. Hey, who can bring them back home? God can, that's who. It's not going to be me or you or anything, but we need to have faith that God can. Who can heal a hurt? God can. Who can help you on your job? God can. Who can grow a church? God can. Do you have faith this morning that God is, that God can? See, I don't think the Lord wanted to make it too difficult for us. You say, Brother Judah, this is pretty easy to understand. I hope it is. God wants to, He wants your life to please Him. He wants it to be easy. He wants you to have faith that can move a mountain, believing that God is, that God can. And then finally, listen to this. That God will. Hey, that is faith. I mean, I can't give you a big flowery definition and a deep theological discussion of what faith is, but I can come along and say this, church, believe that God is, that God can, and that God will. And if you'll do that, you'll have the faith that can move a mountain. Yes, sir. God is, God can, and God will. Let me put it like this, living in expectancy. Hey, what are you excited about? You know God's going to do it. You've been praying about it. Your heart's full of faith, and you're just waiting for it to happen. Are you living in expectancy? Or do you have no faith? Hey, what's the future hold for Bible Baptist Church here in 2018? What's the future hold? I don't know. But are you on the edge of your seat living in expectancy? Huh? Are you waiting for it to happen? That's faith. See, oftentimes we're guilty. We believe that God is. We believe that God can, but we're not sure that He's going to. And we lose faith. We lose faith, believing that God will. Kind of a funny story. We were newly married, my wife and I, Minda, and you know, when you get married, you bring things into the relationship. And she brought into the relationship a green Plymouth Acclaim that her father had given to her. Plymouth Acclaim. She loved that car. And I liked it too because I didn't have to buy another car for her. And she worked at the Holiday Inn about 15 minutes from the house there on Indianapolis. And she worked at that Holiday Inn, and I worked the opposite direction. And so every morning she would get in her Plymouth Acclaim, and she would drive about 20 minutes or so and there and go to the Holiday Inn and work. One day I came home from work, and we had only been married about a month. I came home from work, and my wife was in the apartment, and she was crying, visibly shaken and upset. I said, honey, what's wrong? She said, nothing. I said, what's wrong? Nothing. I said, what? And then she looked at me, and this is what she said. Because, you know, you're newly married, and you want to just help, you know. That wears off. No, I'm just kidding. but you want to help. And I said, honey, I said, what's wrong? What is it? And she said this to me. She said, honey. I said, yes. She said, it went thunk. I said, what? She said, it went thunk. I said, what went thunk? She said, the car. I was on my way to work and it went thunk. I'm not a mechanic, all right? So I just looked there and said, well, is it okay? I mean, did it unthunk? I mean, what's wrong? She said, take it for a ride. Man, I took it for a ride. And here's what, I still to this day don't know what was wrong, but here's what was happening. If I got mechanics, you can tell me what was going on. I'd get in the car and it would drive fine. You start it up, it would go fine. It'd be first gear, second gear, you'd go. But after about 6 or 7 minutes of driving, when you came to a stop, it would go thunk. And then the car out of first gear. We're talking just 8 miles, 10 miles an hour down the road, and that's it. Now, how many of you realize in the Chicagoland area, when your car can only go 8 to 10 miles an hour, that is a problem. How many of you get that? She was telling me, okay, I came home, and I said, well, maybe it'll go away, you know. And I didn't know what to do. Man, I was broke, newly married, looking to get into the ministry. I didn't know. Trying to save every dime that I had. And I said, well, maybe it'll go away. Next morning, I came home from work, and she was crying, and she said, it went thunk again. And I said, well, honey, I said, man, what she was having to do is get in the right-hand lane and just drive real slow. People would honk the horn and roll the window down and shout at her. One person, she said, they didn't give me the bird, they gave me the whole flock. And as they were driving by, it was terrible. So I took it to a transmission place. I knew enough to know it sounds like it's a transmission. And so I took it to the transmission shop, and the guy looked at me, and don't hold me to these numbers. It was a long time ago. I forget all the exact numbers. But he basically said, well, we can open it up. It's a sealed unit. We can open it up. That's going to be $1,000. We can try to fix it. He goes, that's going to be another $500 or $600, he said, and that may or may not work. I said, well, you may or may not be getting my business. And took it to another transmission shop. He told me the exact same thing. Day after day, my wife's riding to work, thunk, and just in shame and embarrassment. Man, I dead sure didn't want to buy a new car. So I brought my friend over. His name's C.W. Kennedy. I brought C.W. over, and I said, C.W., look at this car. I said, what do you think about this car? And he's you got to know C.W. He's my best friend in the world. He's kind of wild. He's got wild eyes, and he's just, you know, all excited about it. I said, let's take it for a ride. Sure enough, it thunked on him, too. He looked at me, and this is what he said. I don't know, man. And we got it back to my apartment, and I was just resigned to the fact that, you know, I was going to have to get a new car or do something. We were walking out of the car, and I looked at CW, and I said, stop. I said, CW, we're sitting here, we're a couple of preachers. I said, man, we're going to preach and how God answers prayer, and I've heard all these stories. I said, don't you think God can do it? CW's like, well, yeah. I was like, man, let's pray over this car right now. Listen, Mrs. Shalafu is here. She knows C.W. Kennedy. She'll probably call and ask him the story. It's word for word true. I put my hand on the hood of that car, and I began to pray. Lord, you know my situation. You know I don't have much money. Lord, you know that I'm trying to get into the ministry, and I don't want money to be a factor. And God, I need this car to last until I leave. And I don't know when I'm going to leave. It might be a year from now, but I need it to last. Please help us. Amen. I lifted up my eyes and CW staring at me. I said, let's go for a ride. We got in the car. Now, it normally would happen after 5 or 6 minutes. We got in the car. We began driving around. Man, the first stoplight, no thunk. Second stoplight, no thunk. CW is almost disappointed. He's like, ah. It's like, man, you're supposed to be my friend, man. He was waiting for it to thunk. We took it back home, no thunk. My wife drove that car every day for over a year, no thunk. We pulled in the U-Haul. God was moving us to West Virginia. We were loading up the U-Haul. On the day we were going to leave, we drove to the dollar store. And on the trip to the dollar store, on the day we were going to leave, thunk. I got back to the house, I looked at my father-in-law, I threw him the keys, and I said, hey, brother, it's all yours. Just believing that God is, that God can, and that God will. Do you have faith today? Faith that can move a mountain. A belief in your heart and soul that God is, that God can, and that God will. How's your faith? How's your faith? Huh? Comes to your kids. How's your faith? You think about your church. How's your faith? We're having a youth revival, last youth revival, so it would have been last March or so. Youth group was doing well, but you always need a good revival. And I can remember we were praying, and one young man, David Cowling, was was praying with me that God would work. Just pray. We were having prayer meetings that God would move. And I tell our kids this. I tell them, look, I'm not going to force it. Nothing phony, nothing fake. Either God's going to work or he's not. If he does, we'll rejoice. And if he doesn't, we'll just move on. But we're not going to manufacture anything. It was Monday night, and the preacher preached, Brother Charlie Clark, and it was good. It was good. Kids responded, it was fine. Tuesday night, it was good. Nothing, the message was great, the response was fine, nothing special. Wednesday morning, lunchtime, David called the prayer meeting. He had all the seniors there in the chapel, and they were praying that God would work, that God would move. They were praying. Wednesday night, the preacher preached. I looked at the altar. People were responding. I looked at Dave on the front row. He had tears in his eyes. I went down to him, and this is what he said. Brother Judah, do you think it's going to happen? Do you think God's going to show up? Do you think God's going to move? I said, Dave, I think he will, but I don't know. We prayed together during the invitation, and as we prayed, friend, listen. God. Young people got saved, began weeping at the altar. We stayed and prayed for a long time, believing that God is, that God can, and that God will. You believe that, church? How many of you believe that God is? Say amen. How many of you believe that God can? Say amen. Now think about your life. Can you say, hey, I believe that God will? That's faith. Living in expectancy. Would you bow your heads, please, and close your eyes? God is, God can, and God will. Let me ask you a question, church. How's your faith? How's your faith? Man, what is it in your heart and life right now that you say, Brother Judah, I just need to increase my faith? Do you hear the prayer of the apostles? Lord, increase our faith. I want to believe more that God is. I want to believe more that God can. I want to believe more that God will. See, God needs his people, his Christians, to have faith. I don't expect the world to have faith. You have to have faith. Living in expectancy, who would say, Brother Judah, simply put, I need to increase my faith. Simply put, would you lift your hand and let me see? I need to increase my faith. Lord, help us to do exactly that. Brother Randy, you come. Take the service.
Knowledge he had, and wealth even more. And it was a role they knew that Jesus wouldn't. and with his finger to the ground, he wrote a message of a different kind. Heads were hanging all around as their stones fell to the ground. Her sin was clear, but fault he did not find. He wrote a message of grace across the sands of time. to him. It's a must.